Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I'm your host, Zoe Brown. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Through the season, we talk mistakes, tips, and lessons to get you closer to the business owner you want to be. Jasper Passon has been an accountant for practice for mostly SME clients over the past two decades and aimed to use his experience to give back to the community. Generosity is his purpose, and coming from a massive business failure many years ago and a burnout several years ago, he learned a lot of tools and tactics to remain positive during difficult times. He has also learned to share that drive with fellow entrepreneurs, and today we put the spotlight on him. Welcome to the podcast, Jasper.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, I wanted to know from you, let's talk about your business, Drake Holdings and Lead Optimizers. How did you start them?
So I pretty much obviously done my articles originally about 2000, 2001. And in 2006, I started my own practice, Drake Holdings. I was a founder, still the only director of the company and shareholder. And really, I mean, just like you mentioned, for the passion of serving small business owners, as we go along, my purpose changed to really to be generous in adding value to other the entrepreneurs out there, especially South African entrepreneurs. But I'm very privileged, like you mentioned, this year it's 15 years of the start of Drake Holdings, and I've also been able to serve small business owners for two decades. During the course of that time, I was also an entrepreneur all the time. Since from school, I was always trying to kind of sell stuff. But my business that I'm part of right now is I'm a financial director of Lead Optimizers. My partner is an SEO specialist. So he's the digital brain behind Lead Optimizers. I'm just a financial guy. But we started in about 2013. And yeah, I mean, we grow quite a lot from there, and the business model kind of changed since we started doing the, just lead optimizing, like, generating business leads for entrepreneurs. It kind of changed during lockdown, but we can probably get into that a bit later.
Okay. Now, for someone like me sitting here and have never heard of a business lead, what exactly is that?
Well, what we do is we generate business leads mainly from websites. So we join with a specific entrepreneur, a specific niche market. So, let's take a random, example, fencing in Cape Town. So there's a specific entrepreneur doing fencing in Cape Town. We, contact them and we start generating leads for them in that specific market. So, and we typically will be, we generate a website, and leads will come from that website directly to the, and in real time. So people will go into Google. They will search, obviously, on Google specific for fencing in Cape Town. They will get to that website, and the contact form will in real time go to that entrepreneur to doing the sales.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Now, I mean, you were telling me a little bit about your business, and I know that they always say the first 5 years of starting a business is always the hardest. You've been at it for 15 years, and you mentioned you've been an accountant for the last two decades. Is that the case for you? Were the first 5 years the hardest?
Definitely. I think the biggest challenge generally that I found as well, and I see that with a lot of entrepreneurs as well, is that step that you need to take to start delegating to others as well. I think these days is easier because the people are more open to outsourcing. So you can, I have this need now and I can outsource this today, and tomorrow you can serve somebody else again. So I think that was initially for me, I couldn't delegate. So for the first probably two, three years, I wanted to do everything myself. I wanted to be the receptionist. I wanted to go to the bank myself to cash checks. I wanted to write letters. I wanted to do everything myself. But you can be able to grow your business if you work in your business and not on your business.
Is that what resulted in your burnout or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think my burnout really motivated me coming from there to really, well, initially started also, I've applied the Pareto law, the 80-20 principle, to really delve deep into my personal life and my business on the stuff that really matters. Because I think we, especially when we, I mean, and I've been previously in my life been very ego driven and not anymore. And when we are ego driven, we kind of tend to do things just for that and things that really doesn't matter. So you kind of step away from your purpose and kind of get sidetracked from your purpose because you want to create, just all kinds of stuff to kind of increase your ego and to raise your ego. So yeah, I think my burnout really taught me that I need to focus on specific things and the things that really drives me and serves my purpose well.
I think that's amazing. And I think sometimes we all need those lessons, almost like strip everything else away and then just focus at the core of some things. Now, given everything that you know today and that you know now, what do you wish you had known when starting off your own business?
I must be honest, I'm very happy for my whole life, my whole 22 decades that I've been an entrepreneur and accountant. I don't really want to change anything because I think that lesson served me very well. As long as we learn from the lessons and grow from there, I think it's amazing. And we will always strive to be our best version. We will never be our best version. And I think that's important to enjoy the journey and accept the failures, not really as a failure. I hate that word. See it as a lesson and learn from that, adapt from there and fine tune your business because of that. And COVID was a very good example. We all kind of felt COVID and lockdown on our businesses. But it was an amazing opportunity for ourselves to grow and also for our businesses to fine tune our business because you will never look at the issues in your business in the winter times, in summer times, but you always need to look at it. You were forced to look at it in the winter times and start fine tuning it.
Especially when it's a little bit more quiet. Is that what you mean with winter times?
Winter times is quiet and also, I mean, when your business, like in lockdown is a very good example. Most businesses slowed down. So all of a sudden there's overheads that you just paid because you could have paid it. There was enough turnover to pay it. There was enough profit to pay it. But it's not necessary to say you have to do it. Well, there's a line in your business that you always did, but it was never profitable from the start. But it was kind of disguised in the whole profit of the profit of the whole business. So in the winter time, everything slows down and now we kind of need to force on every single line of your business and see what actually works. And that's what I mean by fine tuning in the winter times is really look at what works and what doesn't work.
What were some of the changes you had to implement during this pandemic? I mean, I know it impacted and hit a lot of businesses hard. Did it impact you in that way or were you guys okay?
I'm very fortunate that some of our business lead optimizers grew probably about 300 to 500% during lockdown. My biggest aim always is, except for being an accountant, but as an entrepreneur, I always try to look for the places where I can serve where there's a need. Mainly in the service industry. I love the service industry, probably because I'm an accountant as well. So I'm not big in products. I'm a lot more in service. So, but I always go and assess what items are really in the need. Because, and especially with lead optimizers, we can't start a website that's not in search. If it's not in a search engine with Google, it's no use for us to start a business. So we are very picky from lead optimizer side, what projects we take on. Because I mean, it doesn't serve us when we create a website, it's number one on Google, but there's no leads coming in because nobody are looking for that specific industry. So in my case, always looking for a niche market that really serves a lot of people and that's really in need. So I think during COVID, your actual question was, when lockdown struck, we actually, assess what are we doing currently that's working and what do we need to focus on during this time to actually make a change? I mean, and for us, this UIF was a big buzzword since lockdown. So we started assisting people with UIF. We, what was the other, there was a few other, I mean, with Sukuma and all those kind of debt relief funds. So, and obviously debt review and those kind of places that, I mean, it's all niches that you can really serve a lot of people, and it's currently not a buzzword. So.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage for Fin24. I am your host, Zoe Brown, a home for dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Now, Jasper, hearing everything you have to say, it sounds like you're a busy man, got a lot going on. How do you stay on top of your time? Like, how do you manage to basically stay on top of everything?
I've got, since my burnout, well, before that as well, but even especially during my burnout, I've been studying a lot of work of Robin Sharma. He's been quite a big coach of mine in getting me through personal development and all kinds of things. He's got this weekly design system that he uses, or we talk about, and I started implementing as well. So it's pretty much going to a Sunday, and every Sunday you have lockdown times and chunks of the day during the course of the week. So you pre-plan basically a week. As an accountant, I pre-book my clients, my monthly accounting clients, every quarter for the specific time with a Zoom meeting, and it's already set up till end of December. So a big part of my life are automated, which helps a lot. I can just be there and just show up and do what I need to do. And I always also in my personal life try to obviously chunk time for specific things. I've got, my wife is here today as well. I've got two boys. So I'm trying to obviously get a balance between my family life and my business as well. So everything in that is kind of pre-planned. Obviously it's not, fixed in stone. But it's something that I really try to, certain things we fix. So Tuesday nights, me and my wife go to the mountain and we go climb a mountain, in the mountain with our dogs. So it's various things that I implement every day, that's already chunked out in my diary.
Now, I love how you said it was automated. Did you design a system that helps you with that? Or how do you help yourself? Like, I have a calendar. But it's basically, when I say a calendar, I handwrite everything down on a little diary. How do you make use of technology?
So first of all, I'm going to disappoint you in the sense of I'm also old school. That I use my old school diary, but my PA do, we use various things. I'll get into it in a moment. But obviously uses Zoom, and he sent out all my notifications to and invites to clients. But I still like my old school diary that I can write. I think there's a lot of value that people lost because of that. But saying that, I mean, our practice, we started implementing, Trello. Trello is a very amazing tool to use. For our whole practice uses Trello. I mean, my lead optimizer site, all our production, YouTube videos, everything that goes out also on Trello. So the whole team can kind of be on that one board and we can manage everything there. So there's no more papers here and try to remember everything in a diary. Everything can be on one place. So Trello is definitely one of them. I've been using Zoom way back before it got a buzzword, became a buzzword. And then obviously accounting wise, There's about three main accounting programs in South Africa: Sage, Xero, and QuickBooks. There's obviously others as well, but those are the three, probably the most popular ones. We've got a number of clients on Xero and QuickBooks, but most of our clients are on Sage.
How important is it for a business owner to consider introducing AI into their business?
I think it's important, and it's real. I mean, it will only get more real as we go along into the future. And I think the future is pretty much with us. But yeah, it will, I think it will get more and more scary, especially people a bit older like me. You need to be very deliberate in trying to practice and kind of exercise and look at these kind of, new technology. Because I mean, if you look at our parents, they dislike technology. So it's just something that we need to be conscious about. We need to kind of be able to use that. Luckily I've got a few people in my office that's really jacked up with technology, and they can also help me drive it forward. I've started my process about 2018, about 3 years ago, when my whole goal was to be able to work remotely, in 5 years. So it's from since 2018, 5 years. And I must say at this stage, I'm pretty much there. All our files on a one drive in the cloud. Everything is on a Trello board that we can manage our whole practice and the whole flow of work. We do everything. Almost all our clients are on Sage Cloud Accounting. So you can log in any place, anytime. So everything is really automated at this stage for me in my life.
To a small business owner listening now, how can they get a surety that, you know, moving all their books and their accounting systems online, how can you guarantee them it's safe?
I'm not the expert in that. I've never found any trouble with that. Obviously with cloud-based accounting, which is obviously most of the new programs, it's always a worry about that. I think the biggest worry for most people are that, this is cloud-based. It's all programs, all businesses, all people that manage it. So they can become glitches now and again. And what I've just learned is try to keep the records off in PDF format as well. That's what we do every month. We pull the records, detail ledgers, customer reports, pull everything and store it on our OneDrive. That's also on the cloud, but keep it separate from the accounting program.
There we go. Well, some great advice being shared. Now, I want to know from you, do you have a piece of advice for an aspiring business owner, knowing everything you know now over the last two decades?
Accounting wise or just in general?
Let's do accounting first and then in general.
Accounting wise, it's important for you, and there's no reason why you can't do that these days anymore. Even if you're a small business owner, make sure you have a cloud-based program that you're available all the time. Most of these cloud-based programs also have an app on your phone, so you can do quotations when you're at the client. You can, when the quotation get approved, you can do the invoice also from your phone. So you can do everything live from your phone. And then also you can do your accounting anywhere in the world as long as you have internet. And we mostly have internet everywhere. So make sure your accounting in the old days was historic information, but you can't do anything with that. So you want to get to a place where you use your cloud-based accounting program to really get real-time figures. And I always say there's four items that you really need: as accounts receivable, your accounts payable, your inventory if it's in your industry, and your bank balance. If you have that four figures every day, you can make pretty good decisions cash flow-wise in your business. So try to keep that as close to you as possible and as live as possible to make important decisions every day. Second to that is most entrepreneurs, they tend to live from the business account. And if you start doing that right from the start, you will be amazed how your capital grow in your business. Most people have a company, they trade in there and they have a business debit card and they just kind of swipe it every day and they never take a salary. So work out your budget and make sure you speak to your accountant. Let the patient be deducted every month and pay yourself a salary. See yourself as just another employee of your company. And then every 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you can declare a dividend or another profit share, however you want to call it, but you can declare something else, every few months. And that's why you kind of protect the assets of your own business.
That's some wise advice. I really like that. And you know what? I know that you have put some systems in place to stay on top of your financial, on top of your books. How, have you put any systems in place to stay on top of staff management?
Luckily, 2018, when I started the whole process of trying to work remotely, my aim was to remotely. I was burnt out as well. So it was, there's a lot of things that I needed to intend to and think about. At that stage, I had about 15, 16 employees in the practice alone. And I started the process of each time somebody resigned, I replaced them with somebody that can do outsourcing for me. So at this stage, we've got about 5 people in my office that all the ones been with me for 11 years and most going on for about 10 years. So that's all the senior people that's in my office and the rest are all outsourcers. And it's great, especially since lockdown, how you can manage your finances because of that, because you don't have, I mean, it doesn't even go just as a salary. You need to have in my case, you need to have a laptop for them. You need to have insurance rises. There's so many costs that rise just because one employee. But the moment you have outsourced, they work from the comfort of their own home or a coffee shop or wherever they want to work. And I mean, the cost has kind of dropped dramatically because of that. And also obviously a lot less staff problems.
And then I wanted to know from you, if you had to look back, how has your workflow changed since the first 2 years of starting your business compared to now?
Right now, I'm working mostly on my business, where I've been working a lot in my business previously. So I think that's a big change. And then also, I've done a lot of personal development in myself towards becoming where I am right now. And it's all, like I mentioned previously, earlier, it's always a work in progress. It will never be your best version. It's always a strive to get there. But your personal development and your personal growth will always be connected to your business growth. Your business results on the outer world will never be any bigger than the work you've done inside. So yeah, that is, I think every single morning, work on yourself. When nobody's awake, work on yourself, and keep growing, because the more you grow, the more you work on skills, the more you can serve people out there.
Now, Jasper, in establishing your business, how can an entrepreneur remain focused and dedicated to the cause of their business?
That's an amazing question. So I think we all need to, the world out there is all about money, and a lot of people focus on making money as their core principle. And it's great. We all need to make money. But as one of my mentors, Evan Carmichael, would say, it must be in your top 5, but it mustn't be number 1. Your number 1 reason for having a business, being an entrepreneur, it's an exciting world. But make sure you're purpose driven. Make sure that you have that one word you live by that really drives you forward, that you actually wake up in the morning, and that causes that fire in your belly to go out and make a difference.
That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And what an inspirational conversation and very informative. Jasper, thank you for joining us on this episode. For any of our audience members listening right now, how can they get in touch with you?
There's various ways. I'm on Instagram. My name is Jasper Basson. I'm on Facebook, Jasper Basson page and myself. And then obviously they can mostly go to website, entrepreneur-sa.com.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast. Catch us next week with a new episode.